If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
But I had a really corrupt partner who was the contracting partner who brought me the deal. Shocker. That actually became a massive loss for not just my business and myself, but also other lenders that were a part of the deal.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
How much money would you pay if you didn't have to make a mistake that someone else did make? Now, that's obviously a leading question because today we get to hear from Justin Colby, who is the founder of the Science of Flipping podcast and the Science of Flipping coaching program. He pulls back the curtains on a very, very expensive mistake he made developing a 79-unit townhome complex, as well as telling us the right ways to hire and the right times to hire. You might say, what's a house flipper got to do with my business and scaling my business? I'm going to tell you quite a bit. The man has figured out how to develop the right systems with the right people and to go big fast. So if you're looking to learn to grow, this is the way to do it. Listen to what Justin has done today. And you know what? In the end, you might save yourself a whole bunch of money by not repeating his same mistakes. And you might also learn how to make a whole bunch of money by repeating his successes. Hey, Justin, welcome to the show.
Dude, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Man, this is great. I know we're going to take a little left turn out of the commercial real estate space today and really focus, or not necessarily focus, but talk more about, you know, what you guys have done systems-wise. You've flipped how many houses? 1,500 homes, something like that?
Yeah, I'm approaching 1,600. Just under 500 of them are real rehab flips, remodels. Just over 100 of them are actually like what I call wholetails, where I buy it and then just simply put it back on the market. And then give or take 1,000 plus are wholesale.
Right. And so the cool thing about that is that you just can't, you're one man. And it's impossible for one guy to, you know, do that many homes without real systems to make that kind of process work. If you can kind of give us an idea of, you know, where you started, where you are now, and how you developed that process along the way, man, just give us the down and dirty on what you've done, because I'm excited to hear about it.
Like many other, I started broke, busted, and disgusted, I like to say. I was sleeping on my friend's couch. I was 26 years old, and I just lost everything, my home to foreclosure. Literally, the repo man took my car, which is a really funny story if we ever have time to talk about that. I walked away from $40,000 with a credit card debt. Initially, I was a realtor back in the heyday of, you know, when market was booming. I didn't actually gather any sales skills as a realtor. I was just taking orders for new home builds. So I was an order taker. Long and short, when the market got real, I had no skills to lean back on. So, you know, I didn't have any fundamentals to go get and create more business. So I lost everything. This is right as, you know, internet marketing and YouTube videos started to come out about this invest with no money, no credit. This is back in 07. So you guys can start to guess my age and how long I've been doing this. I've been doing this 13 years. And so I just started cold calling realtors, 100 a day with my cell phone, not on Mojo Sales or not on any dialer system, right? And 9 months later, I got my first deal out of pure brute force. I didn't even know what the hell I was doing. I called a buddy to borrow $25,000 to pay for coaching because I knew I needed some help and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. So he lent me the money, which was a great return on his investment, obviously, and for me. And from there, it started to really turn and I got some systems in place and some processes. And yeah, 13 years later, you know, done almost 1,600 deals. And, you know, the rest is history.
Right. So the first house, so I do want to hear kind of how that story happened because, you know, you borrowed 25 grand to get some coaching. How did you leverage it? You know, give us some quick ideas on that and then tell us the mistakes you kind of made early on. Because obviously you probably had a lot of things where even if you figured out the money issue, you then went, oh, crud, now I'm overwhelmed. I mean, so kind of walk through that.
The first deal came from a realtor because I was cold calling realtors. This is back in the short sale days. So we were literally making like 10 offers a day on short sales.
Sure.
Obviously, none of them getting approved because even the banks at that point didn't actually know what they were doing. So we'd get the sellers to say yes. They'd sign the document and then send it into the bank to get negotiated. One finally popped. We finally got one. Back then in 07, there was a big thing called transactional funding that was large in our space. And so it was like literally back-to-back funding. So a lender would charge me 2 points to fund the deal. I already had the buyer lined up to buy the deal. So they worked together. And so it's really expensive money, but also very convenient for someone who doesn't have money.
Sure.
Right. And so we worked together on that. We transactionally funded the deal simultaneously. An hour later, they funded their deal, two separate escrows. So expensive because 2 points on $300,000 is a lot to spend for 1 hour. The other component is I have to pay for my closing costs on my buy plus split the closing cost on my sell. So between the closing costs and the points, I made $7,000 on my first deal, but it was $7,000 more than I had, right?
Right.
I have a business partner, and so he took $3,500, I took $3,500. So let's just say I was still eating hot dogs and top ramen because that had to get me through the end of the year, right?
Right.
And so that's how that transaction went. We did one almost simultaneously. It's funny how momentum works. It's a real thing. The universe really does do that. Almost immediately, we got our second deal. Again, made $7,000 on that. Same transactional funding, same process. And that's where I called my buddy and said, hey, dude, I really got something here. If I could learn some processes, some strategy, he lent me $25,000. I paid for a coach. And then it was 6 deals, 20 deals, 46 deals, you name it. You know, buying townhomes, townhome developments, getting into the development space, developing 79 townhomes. And as I kind of mentioned, the rest was history. Now, along that way, I would tell you one of my biggest learning lessons while getting started is we started buying at auction and I didn't pay attention to one of the purchases. It started at a real low price and I was like, all right, I'll put my starting bid here. We'll go to here, right? And no one was bidding against me. I'm like, what did I make a mistake? Why am I, what? And it turns out like essentially it was built in 36, I think. And in Arizona, a home built in 1936 is essentially like the oldest home built.
Right.
Because Arizona is a very new city. When I won, I was very ecstatic. I was like, how the hell did I win this? Well, then I went to take a look at the property and I literally could put my hand on it and push.
Ooh.
And the whole property would wave. Essentially, it was like
the teardown.
4 2x4s with some mud attached to it to call it a house.
Wow.
And anyways, long story short, I didn't really lose. We broke even on that. We started promoting it everywhere. Hey, deal, blah, 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 Facebook, this and that. A realtor had a developer guy that was going to take it down anyways. So ideally, we still broke even, but still pay attention was the big learning lesson there.
Right. And so let's circle back to the systems even on that. Like, what did you guys do to set up processes such that you didn't make that mistake again?
Primarily, my business partner ran that division, which was acquisition on auction.
Sure.
He was sick that day or on vacation, whatever. I said, oh, I got it. Not a big deal. So the process broke down because we implemented a new person in there, me, and I was not paying attention, right? So that literally, he would do this every day, all day. Wow. He would underwrite the deals. He would bring in, you know, the auction courthouse steps will tell you what homes are for sale. He will underwrite them. He'll see opening bids. And then he will say, you know, we have a bid service here that we'd call them and say, all right, we want to make offers on this list of homes, starting bid and our ending bid. And that process broke down because I just went in willy-nilly and, you know, didn't pay attention.
So, and I'm just curious, and I don't want to focus here too long, but a bid service, I've not heard of this. Is this somebody that actually goes to auction for you?
Yep, that's exactly right. So they're everywhere here in Phoenix. And so they do the entire process for you for a fee, roughly $1,500 to $2,000.
Per home.
They will take pictures. They will run title. They'll make sure that the title is clear and they do the bidding for you. So essentially I'm paying them, you know, at that time, I think we were paying about $3,000. Now it's so competitive. They're down to like $1,500 for their fee.
Right.
To have to not do anything. And then you just account for that fee in your purchase price and say, here's the max I can go because essentially with your fee, it's this. The system's pretty clean and easy. You're just essentially underwriting it and giving offers just like you would if you were direct to homeowner or working with a realtor. I mean, the system is actually the same because you have this go-between who does it all the work for you.
Right. And I would be curious, I mean, how many people at that same auction then were using that same service?
Oh,
I mean,
plenty.
Right. So they could get paid 7 times on the same house or they only get paid
if they win, when their client wins.
Got it.
And then there's probably 5 to 7 prominent auction bid services here in Phoenix.
Interesting.
And so not only does, you know, my bid service probably have another handful of investors bidding on that property, but they might have, you know, then they have the other 6 you know, bid services, so they're not guaranteed to do it.
Right.
To win it or make the money, right?
I gotcha. I want to circle back to your, after you, you know, close your first deal, you had your second one. I know you said the universe loves momentum, which I completely agree with.
Yeah.
Who was the first person you hired? What was the first major thing that you said, or first key team member you brought on? Because I mean,
Great question. Going
from getting, you know, hey, my car's getting yanked out of my driveway and I can't eat ramen because I can't afford it, to
that's it.
Now I'm bringing people on. Like, what was that process like?
Great question. So interesting enough, we went about 5 years before we hired. So again, I had a business partner. And so we essentially ran the whole business with us. This is why I tell people, like, all over Instagram and Facebook, and it's all cool to look at how big my business is and employees and the cars and the offices and doing the, you know, video about everybody in your office. And I love it because I was a part of that. Like, to start that, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when I really started building, I was the guy doing that. So I love that. But I also think people are getting misled, not intentionally maybe, but just not led in a good P&L way. Mm-hmm. Meaning, what are your profits? What are your losses? What are your expenses? What are your costs, right? Like, and so we didn't hire until 2013 or 14.
Okay.
I'm sorry. 2014. So about 6 years, we've had our first hire, which was a personal assistant. And so she actually just left me this year after 6 years. I was so sad. But she was a 20-year-old. She was still in college. We were at a place where we knew we could continue to hold the reins, but if we wanted to grow at all, if we wanted something bigger, we couldn't.
Right.
And so we hired before we were ready, meaning I hired her and we weren't quite ready to have someone yet. We were managing just fine.
Sure.
But we wanted to have this level of growth that simply said we needed someone. So my first hire was a personal assistant. I still, to this very day, will recommend that to people. People want to hire their lead person or the acquisition person or even the disposition person first, specific to the wholesale industry. I say, shut it down. The first thing you need to do is get the stuff that you aren't good at, the operational stuff more often than not, the spreadsheets, the marketing, the stuff that you just don't want to do but has to get done, get that off your plate so you could be running higher in sales, because I think all business owners have to take that role. Steve Jobs is a brilliant example of that. He was the master salesman for his company. And so, you know, I would always suggest go personal assistant first, but then again, you kind of hit a hot topic for me because I'm passionate about this. Like, if you aren't putting 25 grand a month in your own pocket, probably shouldn't hire as the threshold. That's kind of my threshold in the residential space. Sure. I'd say if you're not consistently doing, you know, 3 to 5 deals every single month, whether it's wholesale, flips, or wholesale, probably shouldn't hire. The hurdle I'm having with people out there trying to hire an operational and build is they're creating more operational cost. Their profit margins go lower and they're not creating the income that gives them the life freedom
right.
that they're looking for.
Right.
So it's this circle of like, I want to build a business so I can have freedom. Sweet. To have freedom, you need money. And if you're hiring to do that, your pocketbook, your wallet is actually not growing and that circle perpetuates. And so I'm actually, interesting enough, I was one of probably the leaders in the space that you need to grow and scale so you can have life freedom. Now I'm more of like, well, if you're going to do that, you need to do it right, because it's more about growing your wallet, not growing your operation.
Sure.
That's really the key. People want to grow their operation because it looks cool,
right.
Sounds cool. People respect it. But if they can't put more money in their pocket, then what the hell are you doing?
What's the point? What's the point? So it sounds like you're more of a very measured approach versus, hey man, we're just going big.
Yeah, and I think it's, dude, I love this question. I'm actually, as a moment in time, because I told you just that my longest employee just left, right?
Right.
And so I'm looking at this like, well, I want to grow in two steps. I have a coaching program, right, that I want to continue to grow. I have my real estate business that we are actively growing real time right now, just brought on like 4 people. And I'm sitting here thinking, do I need someone or not? Should I replace someone or not? And where? And some of my mindset is actually this, the advice I would give some people, not everybody, is you almost to some extent need to hire in front of your skis. You need to put the cart before the horse, because even though you're not there, like I did for this first employee, I wasn't there.
Right.
my mindset, because I do have financial capability to do this,
sure,
is to hire someone to get us there, right? So it might be a 90-day lag, meaning I might be cutting checks that, like, that person's not creating the revenue for me yet, but because they're there, it gets us to that place. And now we have this rocket-like success. So interesting topic, because I'm actually even going through it as a moment in time myself, but I might be a little different than most people listening to this podcast, because I've done this 13 years. I've created a level of income, success, revenue into my businesses, both in the real estate and coaching, that I can make a little different decisions than maybe someone who's like, I'm doing a couple deals a month. Should I hire?
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Right. No, absolutely. It does. So it sounds like obviously bringing on personnel, you know, at some point at the right time for you was a critical key kind of in your system building. When it came to like going out and acquiring all these different asset types, like you said, 79 condos or something like that you built ground up or something like that.
Developed.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's a whole new skill set. How did you learn that? How did you employ people? How did you sell them? Those are businesses all within your business.
Yeah.
And without doing that, you know, intentionally, you're going to get really behind the eight ball in a hurry.
Well, and it was by far my biggest loss. And the reason being is I was coming off a run of like 96 rehab flips, and you couldn't tell me nothing. I was the best investor you've ever seen. No one could make more money than me. I am the guy, right? Well, so then I get this opportunity to develop 3 acres of land out in Mesa, Arizona. Essentially, all the infrastructure was already laid in. The plans for it was already approved by the city. Like, literally, I was like, oh, it's a no-brainer. All I got to go do is get the funds to acquire it. And so we went out and got private money. I went out and got private money to fund the acquisition of the land, which was $3 million. The vertical was going to be another $8 million. I went out and got the money for that as well. But I had a really corrupt partner who was the contracting partner who brought me the deal. Shocker.
Right, sure.
And so, unfortunately, that actually became a massive loss for not just my business and myself, but also other lenders that were a part of the deal. And here's the point. I went way outside of my circle of proficiency. Flipping homes one at a time, contracting crews, all over this, right? Understanding how the city works, what's necessary, G&A, which is general admissions, the salaries that get paid out that are expected, like all of it was a learning curve, right? So it's this like you either learn or you earn type of mentality. And I would encourage people to try to learn first, but also to some levels, some of my biggest mistakes were my biggest money makers, if that can make any sense to anyone. Because of what I've learned and lost money, I took that learning lesson and I said, I'll never forget this.
Right.
And moving forward, any of those opportunities,
sure,
I've made them right, meaning like I did the next opportunity the right way, the way it should have been done, and it made me more money. In which case, let's just say I lost $100,000 in the development, which I lost a whole lot more than that.
Sure.
The next time something like that came to play, I was able to triple or quadruple that loss in terms of profit.
Right.
It's because now I knew how to do it the right way.
Sure.
And some of my biggest losses actually, and it doesn't have to always be financial. Maybe I didn't get the deal because I didn't negotiate right or whatever the case may be.
Sure.
Actually, that lesson helps me make more money in the long run, even though right as a moment in time, it sucks and it hurts and it's painful. But people are short-sighted.
Right.
And just like a quarterback, you need to have a short memory, right? God, that hurt. Move on to the next play, right? Remember what you did wrong. Remember how that went bad. Remember not to take on a partner who is the developing contractor, and just go do it yourself, right?
Sure.
Because that ultimately was a big reason why this failed. It was essentially he was embezzling money out of the bank account because I attached him to the bank account so he could make sure he could pay all the subcontractors, da, 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 da.
Oh, wow.
And all of a sudden I'm like, where's $200,000? There's not $200,000, right? We're $200,000 light. And I looked at where it went and went over to him and I'm like, what gives you the right to just start siphoning money? Long story short, but now all those learning lessons is where I'm actually able to make more money because people are so short-sighted. They're not in this. Tony Robbins says it best. People overestimate what they can achieve in a year and underestimate what they can achieve in 10.
Right.
And if you're in this for the quick nickel, whether it's commercial, whether it's residential, don't get in it. That's not what we're in it for, right? Like you want to do a flip or two a year, crush it, go do it. But don't make this a business, right? Make it a hobby.
Sure.
And so the people that have been in this for a long time, dude, those are some of my best long-term wealth builders, is because I learned the hard way. I got smacked upside the head, got knocked out, right? Just like our boy, Nate Robinson, and got back up off the mat and learned what I needed to learn.
Man, that's awesome. Let's jump into the final four here. If you were to distill everything you know down to one piece of advice and you're giving this to an aspiring investor, what would that one piece of advice be?
Make sure you are learning from those that have done it before. Like if you just listen to that story, I shouldn't have taken on a 79-unit townhome. I should have gone and talked to everyone else that has done things like that and to figured out what they look at. Why was this not, why did they not buy this? Did they see this deal? I should have just gone out and learned from the other individuals, because it's so funny. When people ask for help, people tend to be more than willing to give it. And so I think people underestimate the value of those that have come before them.
Right.
And they think that they could do it themselves. And it's more than often not true. And I'll just give you one example of that. I myself every year invest a decent amount of money. Like this year I've spent over $50,000 into coaching and masterminds to be a part of. And they're not always in the real estate sector. A lot of times they're more in the entrepreneur sector, or the marketing sector, or the, you know, because I always know I can be learning.
Right.
And I think a lot of people, they don't see the value in that. And they just say like, oh, I can do it because I'm going to watch some YouTube videos, or I'm going to listen to a podcast. I got this.
Sure.
This is great. And everyone should listen to your podcast. Everybody should. But the reality is, like, what it really takes to be successful in the commercial sector, they need to talk to you every week or every other week or something to really have that, you know, connectivity. So that's right. What I would tell any aspiring investor or business owner, always try to level up. I borrowed $25,000 to pay for coaching. It's never a lack of resources, it's a lack of resourcefulness.
Right.
And so I'm passionate about that, because I use, and again, we'll wrap this up, but like I use the analogy of a quarterback in the NFL. Do you know how to throw a football? Yeah, you know how to throw a football. I know how to throw a football. But why do they not only have a head coach, they have an offensive coordinator coach, they also have a quarterback coach to teach you how to do a three-step drop, a five-step drop, a seven-step drop? Where do you hit the football? Where do you release the football? Like, that is fundamentally the most important part of all of this, regardless of whether you're commercial, you know, residential, et cetera.
Right. No, that's awesome. And it sounds like that's going to be probably similar to your answer number two. What's one thing you're doing currently to stay on top of your game?
Oh, dude, I invest a lot of money every year. Like I said, this year, over $50,000 to be around bigger and better. And, you know, I'm not looking for them to like change my whole business. I'm looking for the one or two golden nuggets I can take from them and implement and execute immediately.
Right. Because those are the small course corrections that can put you, you know, miles and miles apart from where you would have been otherwise further on down the road. So that's awesome. When it comes to giving back, what's one thing you're currently doing to make the world a better place?
My podcast is almost at 200 episodes, The Science of Flipping, on iTunes and Spotify. My YouTube channel has a daily video that goes out every single day about business, entrepreneurship, and real estate. And I just continue to give my experiences out for free all the time. Again, YouTube and podcast is my way of giving back.
That's awesome. And Justin, on that note, what's one way or what's the best way for our listeners rather to get a hold of you?
Yeah, probably just, especially in the real estate sector, go to my website, thescienceofflipping.com. A ton of free value there. Also, my YouTube channel, every day I put out a video, whether it's about business, real estate, or entrepreneurship. And that's just look me up, Justin Colby. And then my podcast isn't a way to get a hold of me, but it's great free material. So the website, thescienceofflipping.com or YouTube. And then ask me plenty of questions on those platforms. Like, I'm here to give. I'm here to be a servant to you guys because I have 13 years of doing this. So ask me questions, you know, and I'm happy to comment and advise.
Awesome. Justin, hey, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate you coming on today.
Of course, brother. Appreciate you having me.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.